Tonight, I want to speak on the subject of loneliness, and I want you to turn with me to the fifth chapter of John's Gospel. The fifth chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll just tell you about it rather than reading it. It's the story of a man that was paralyzed, and he was in a hospital. And they felt that if they could be the first one in a pool that morning, he would be healed. And for 38 years, he had lain there and tried to get to that pool to be healed, but he couldn't make it because no one would help him. He was a lonely man. Think of it, 38 years paralyzed and nobody to be his friend and nobody to help him. Some of the biggest movie hits this year have been on this subject. Only the Lonely is one of them. Home Alone. And you could think of others. And there are many thousands of people here this evening. Yet I know that if I could sit down next to each one of you and ask, are you lonely? The answer would be yes. For even in a crowd this large, you can feel so alone. And when you go home, that loneliness is with you. Even if there are people there, your family is there, you can feel alone. Why? Because you're lonely for God. You were made in the image of God for fellowship with God. And there's a cosmic loneliness that psychiatrists tell us about that people have. Jesus Christ once looked at this helpless, paralyzed man who said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is stirred to put me in the pool. I'm alone." 38 long years he was alone. And Jesus singled him out. And he became his friend that day. And he healed him. He can become your friend tonight. When President Eisenhower was baptized after he had become President of the United States, he was baptized in a Presbyterian church, and they asked him what his favorite hymn was. He said, "What a friend we have in Jesus." That was his favorite hymn. He needed a friend. I remember when he invaded Normandy, and he stood there on the coast of England, up on a bluff, and his head is bowed, and he sent me a picture one time, years later, a picture of that, and he wrote it and said, "I found a friend, and that friend is Jesus." In Ephesians, the third chapter, it says that Christ may settle and be at home in your heart. Someone living in a flat or in a tenement who never receives a letter nor a hand clasp of a friend. The country girl seeking fame and fortune in the big city, disillusioned and disappointed. Christ can be your friend. Loneliness is found even in the intimacy of marriage. You may be lying in bed with your wife or your husband. You might have made love to each other, but even in the midst of that lovemaking, there was a loneliness. You felt so alone. Why is that? It's a cosmic loneliness that's true all over the world. It's a loneliness as an inner dimension. It's a thirst of the Spirit for God. You may not recognize it as a thirst for God, but that's what it is, because the Bible says you are mind, your body, your soul, your spirit made in the image of God is thirsty for God, hungry for fellowship with God. The roots of loneliness are in each of us. A poll recently revealed that fear and loneliness take over a child's life when a parent suddenly vanishes from the scene, whether it's a mother or a father. A romance breaks up. A job is lost. A grown child leaves home. A death in the family. All leave us lonely. And then secondly, there's the loneliness of suffering. When you are suffering, the world ends at the foot of your bed. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Christ gives us hope that suffering is going to come to an end and there's going to be glory at the end of the suffering. In Revelation 21, the scripture says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. I'm looking forward to that day when we're going to be in the presence of Christ forever. Then there's the loneliness of sorrow. The older I get, the more funerals I attend, though I'm supposed to attend, as friends die. Jesus wept at the funeral of a friend. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's the hope that he gives to those that are suffering in sorrow. If you stand around the casket of a friend and your friend has died or your loved one has died, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he's going to raise that person up if they knew Christ, and that is our hope. And I have many friends tonight that are in hospitals that are suffering, and I want to go and put my arms around them. There's the loneliness of sin. Our professor of psychology says there are two basic causes: the feeling that we don't belong, and no one understands us. How many times we've heard about that? There was an article in the press some time ago about a group of young people, and the writer said they're a generation of alienated young who are going nowhere, looking forward to nothing. The deeper and more basic root of loneliness is a sense of isolation from God. Do you know when loneliness began? In the Garden of Eden. When man cut himself off from fellowship with God, he rebelled against God, he disobeyed God, and from that moment on, he became a sinner. And his two boys were sinners, and they passed it from generation to generation down to you and me, and we are sinners tonight. We are born in sin, we become sinners by choice, and we're sinners by nature. And sin separates us from God, and only Christ dying on the cross can reconcile us to God. And we have to come to the cross and acknowledge that we're sinners and that we are ready to change our way of living. And that's called repentance. And you come by faith and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You've seen some of the television movies that depict the life of a famous person. And so many of them were lonely people. Some of the loneliest people were famous. They just were in a world to themselves. People were either afraid of them. I had a friend in England, and he became he was in Scotland. And we were staying at the home, Cliff and I were staying at the home of a doctor in Glasgow many years ago. And every day he would come and visit his mother next door, and she was 90 years old, and he would bring her one red rose every day. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. And he had a little store in downtown Glasgow called the House of Fraser. And we became friends. And Hugh Fraser became he became one of the wealthiest men in all of Britain. He bought all the great stores in Britain, even Harrods in London was his. And that all came after we got to know him. And then the Queen made him a baron. He became Lord Fraser. And I said to him one day, I said, Hugh, I said, now that your people address you as Lord, or yes, my Lord, or no, my Lord, how does it feel? He said, it's terrible. It's a lonely life. He said, my old friends don't know how to act around me. And the society in England don't accept me as a Lord. And he said, here I am, a wealthy man and very lonely. Loneliness has never been a respecter of persons. It affects everyone. In John 13, we have the story of the Last Supper and the prophet's portrayal of Judas. He went out, the scripture says, and it was night. He betrayed the Lord, and he was lonely from then on. He had no fellowship with Christ from that moment on. He had betrayed his Lord. And perhaps there was a time when you knew the fellowship of God. You walked with him. You went to church. You read the Bible. You were faithful in the way you lived, but now gradually you've been weaned away by television, or you've been weaned away by something else, and you don't walk as close to the Lord as you once did. There was a time when you had peace with God. There was a time when you were baptized. There was a time when you were confirmed in your church. But you went out from the presence of the Lord, and you found that it was night, and the night of loneliness for God has settled over you. And tonight you can make it all right. You can come back. And he stands with open arms and he says, come back. I love you. I'll receive you. I will forgive you. Perhaps there's no loneliness quite so bitter as the loneliness of a person who goes to church but never knows Christ personally. And there are many people like that. They go to church, they work in the church, but they don't really know Christ personally. Sin makes us lonely because it separates us from God. We throw ourselves into a social whirl to escape the loneliness that's there, but somehow it doesn't work. We get out of control. Any attempt to deal with sin without the new birth is like struggling in quicksand. If we search for an antidote to loneliness in drugs or alcohol or sex or encounter groups or psychological experiences, as good as some of those may be, it often serves to mire us deeper in the quicksand. And we're worse off than we were in the beginning. So there's no remedy in this life except Christ. Through Christ, we can have the most fundamental relationship in life restored. The things that are broken in your heart and life can be restored in Christ if you put your faith and your confidence in him. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead for you. And he's waiting for you to come to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The psalmist who was so lonely also wrote Psalm 43. Oh, my soul, why be so gloomy and discouraged? David the psalmist said, trust in God. I shall again praise him for his wondrous help. He will make me smile again, for he is my God. Yes, you can smile again. You can have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Loneliness is often God's way of letting us know that it's time to reach out. Christ experienced the greatest loneliness the world has ever known so that we would never have to be lonely again. Many great athletes have played in this arena. And one, frequently here, I'm not going to call his name tonight, is perhaps one of the finest athletes ever to perform in this arena. In an interview this weekend, although in his prime, he expressed terror at the prospect of retirement from the game, which has been the only life he's ever known. He said, I'm terribly confused as I look for something to fill the void when my playing days are over. He said, this has been a summer of soul searching. It's a concern of mine, he said. More than ever before, I would have thought by this time in my life I would have found something. I haven't found it. What was he looking for? What is he looking for? I'm hoping he's here tonight. He's searching for God. He may not realize it. It's an experience with Christ that could change all of that and fill the void and the emptiness of his life and give him something worth living for and take away the loneliness out of his life. The reason is that we all have that void and are confused and soul-searching until we find Christ. Do you know Christ? There are many young people here tonight that want a new joy and a new something to believe in, something to follow, a flag to follow. You need Christ.